Football Podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. I want to echo what Pastor Mark said when we met those men at a local coffee shop downstairs. They were all in their 60s and 70s. I actually looked at one of our guys who was very young in his 20s, and I said, "You want to grow old like these men?" They were all smiling. They were all happy. They were all so full of life. Obviously, they looked like they were in their 60s and 70s. And Pastor Mark and I, they realized we were the pastors here. Look at Pastor Mark. Nobody knows he's 50. No. He's, but he does look young. And so when they found out our ages, they were saying, "Why are the people, the pastors of every nation, looking so young?" I said, "It's got to be the communion elements. And we're about to export them to you." But long story short, they were such a blessing just to be around. The passion for God, the love for God, the life that was coming out of these men. It wasn't religious. They were retired businessmen having coffee and reaching out to the waitresses in the coffee shop. It was amazing. We're back to Genesis. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, we've been a journey through Genesis. And we're finally back in Genesis chapter 16. It's been about a year and 10 months now, and our journey has reached that far. And we're back here. And before I get into the details of Genesis 1 to verse 3, which is what we're covering today, I want to talk to you a little bit about a thing called the Rashomon effect. The Rashomon effect was discovered in the 1950s by virtue of a director. His name is Akira Kurosawa. And Mr. Kurosawa discovered this idea of the different vantage points in a movie. He created this movie where every scene was viewed from the eyes of one of the witnesses. Probably my all-time favorite Rashomon effect movie would have to be a movie called Courage Under Fire. Now, you may not know this. At one point, Meg Ryan and Denzel Washington did make a movie together. It wasn't a romantic comedy, just for those of you who are wondering. It was actually a war movie. And the story was about this captain, this woman captain, who was killed in the 1991 Gulf War. And Denzel Washington was a colonel for the military, and he was tasked to investigate if it was valid that this woman was indeed a hero. And so the movie was a take from the different insights of the different witnesses. This is actually the movie, in case you didn't know, that made Matt Damon. He was just an extra in this movie, but he did such a great performance, he was finally identified as a key actor. Long story is that these were snippets of the entire story, and that the truth of who this woman was came into fore as he did the different interviews with the different people involved in the war. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 is kind of like a Rashomon effect of what we've been studying in the life of Abraham. Abraham, as we've seen, has journeyed with God alone. We've seen Sarah being dragged with him. We know that Sarah was barren, but we have very little to know about Sarah, and we've never heard her speak anything. Finally, we get to Genesis chapter 16, and out of this chapter, we see the Rashomon effect. We actually see two lives that bring to fore the greater picture of the glory of God. Because now we're not just seeing it from the eyes of Abraham, we're seeing it from the eyes of Sarai and Hagar. Now, in verse 1, it says, "Now Sarai, Abraham's wife," that's something we know about her, is she's just Abraham's wife, "and had borne him no children." That's something that we've already heard in Genesis 11, that she was a barren woman, and that has a scourge in the society they lived in. In today's world, if you're a single woman, or if you're a woman who doesn't have children, it probably doesn't make as much of a difference. You get a career, you can do all sorts of stuff. In those days, having children was the career. In other words, if you didn't have children, it was a stinker. Something wrong with you. Something that's bad. You're cursed. And this was the story of this woman. This verse also introduces us to the Egyptian servant, whose name was Hagar. And this is going to play out next week. But for today, just the idea of these two perspectives in the life of the faith of Abraham. Now notice in Genesis 11 verse 30, it says that this whole barrenness did not start at this point. It's been going on for over 20 years. 20 years of waiting for something, 20 years of believing God for something, and 20 years of not seeing any sign of it ever happening. Now, That, if you were in the situation, this woman would initiate fear. The fear of the future, the fear that something might not happen to me, the fear and the pain of realizing that the thing that I'm believing God for is not happening, the disappointment of waiting year after year after year, and what I'm believing for is not happening. That may be a relationship. That may be a business deal. That may be a job. That may be a breakthrough in your health. That may be something. That may be something that you've been believing God for years. Maybe some of you're believing God for PSLE results, and you're waiting and waiting and trying to see, is this ever going to happen? And when it finally happens, there's a disappointment, or it's a disgrace. It didn't happen. It actually happened the other way around. And worst of all, now I have resentment, not just with God, but with life itself. Life's not working the way I intended it to be. And this was the story from the vantage point of this woman. A good idea, if you wanted to think about this, was nothing is happening and you're still waiting. And yet you've been godly. You've been to church. You've given your tithes. You do the right thing. You're morally upright. And for some reason, it isn't happening. Now, if you were in a car, many of you can identify with this, and you're going on a trip with your parents, and you said, are we there yet? How many of you have ever done that? At least there's someone in the car that says, sweetie, in a few more minutes, in a few more hours, we're going to get there. But there's someone assuring you of something. If you were in a situation where you're in a queue and somebody gave you a stub, you knew at least it's another hour, another 15 minutes. I'm number 25, but it's already number 15. So it's 10 more steps to go and I'm going to be there. Or maybe you've got a delayed flight. Your flight's delayed, but you know that at some point you're going to take off. Story of Abraham and Sarai is not like that. It's been years and decades and waiting with no clear thing in sight. And that's the question. What if you were waiting for that thing, that breakthrough? What happened next in verse 2 of chapter 16 is Sarai said to Abraham, behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. This is the voice of pain. This is the voice of settling. Seems like this dream's no longer happening. And so the option is to settle. This is as far as it goes. The destiny that I've always believed, the plans, the dreams that I've always thought were going to happen is not happening. And thus, the Lord has prevented. This is a hint, not just of pain, but a little bit of accusation and blaming. God, why isn't it that this dream that you gave me, why did you even call me to be a Christian? And yet here I am, and this very dream that I have, which is righteous and true, I just want to have a child, is seemingly not happening. And you end up blaming God. And you end up saying, Lord, I'm settling for the least common denominator because this thing looked like it's not happening anymore. Then she goes on to say, go into my servant. That terminology is basically have intimacy or have sex with my maidservant so I can have a baby. And this is what you don't want to do when you're waiting for things that God wants to do in your life. One is don't blame God. But the second thing you shouldn't do is not just don't blame God, don't take matters into your own hands. And she, by her own admission, is this is all I've got. I've got this maidservant. By the way, in those days, that was the tradition. There are Sumerian texts that says that covenants between husbands and wives allowed the use of maidservants to produce children. Because that's just the way it was. If there was no children, and that's the only way you could have laborers and workers and family, was you needed to have a surrogate. What do you do when the thing that you're believing God for is not happening? Do you blame God? You take matters into your own hands? Or is it just that I may obtain children by her? Or this was the tradition of the day. This was the practice. I'm just going to go by what the tradition is. I'm just going to go by what the world says. The fundamental difference between Sarah's faith, as moral as it is because she's forgetting one basic thing. Sometimes when we wait for the dreams that God has for us, our idea is it's all about us rather than God's call for our lives. She wanted a baby so bad because that's what she wanted. God wanted to give her a baby not because of what she wanted, but because God had called them to be a blessing to the nations. When we lose sight of God's purpose for our lives and it becomes about what we want, then the settling or the being unsettled becomes impulsive. It becomes believing I can do this with my own strength. I'll just do it the way the world does it. I'll just go by the tradition. Forget my calling. I'm going to say something that's a little sensitive to some of you. Sometimes in this, listen well to me here. I love meritorious societies. I do. I love it when you work hard and you get paid for the kind of work you do. I like the fact that people are tested. I like the fact that in this society, you do your best and you get paid well for it. I just have a caution for you. Be careful that PSLEs and the world's definition of success become what you think you were called to do. Are you listening? Because sometimes you think that if I get that, I'm going to fulfill my calling. You're probably going to get wrong. Because God's ways are greater than yours. And His plans are greater than yours. When you start thinking a certain way, and that's the way the world works and the way the traditions work, and you think that's the only way you're going to get ahead in life, you're probably going to miss it. Sad part in this story is it doesn't just take matters into their own hands. They resorted to the world's ways. And sadly, not only did they resort to the world's ways, Abraham, who should have known better, listened to the voice of Sarah. Now, let me summarize this. Two reactions that you and I can have. You can have the reaction of impulsive, or you can have the reaction of just being passive. The impulsive says, do something. Some of you are waiting for Mr. Right or the ultimate boyfriend and do something about it. Amen? Are you following me? I've got to buy the longest eyelashes to make this thing happen. Rather than trusting God, what is God's call for your life anyway? Or some of you, it's the passive, it's waiting. And both of these, by the way, are not bad. There's nothing wrong with being waiting and listening to God. That's actually good. And there's nothing wrong with acting. There's nothing wrong with going ahead and doing something. Both of these are actually right. In my marriage, that's my wife's probably more the waiting type, and I'm more the impulsive type. And actually, it works well when we work together. The issue with Abraham and Sarai was not impulsiveness or passivity. It was an issue of faith. Because whether you do something or you wait on something, the issue is, do you believe that it's God who's going to help you? Are you listening to God or are you listening to the world? Are you doing it God's way or are you doing it the world's way? And in this particular case, it's not even just faith. It's faith for the call in my life. You have a call as I have a call. You're going to get married or you're going to have a husband or you're going to have a wife that's not going to be mine. Because you have a specific call from God. And the secret there is not whether you're just going to go and do something and act on it or wait and just listen. The secret is faith. Faith to listen and wait, and faith to act and do when the Lord says to do. The book of Romans tells us to be careful because for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Whatever. Not just children, not just businesses, not just careers. Whatever you do, you can come to church, and if you came to church because of works and not by faith, you just wasted your time. Because it's coming to God by faith and believing that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, where life works for us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever draws near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Contrast for our story today would be the life of Jesus. Abraham and Sarai could not wait, would not listen, insisted on going ahead and doing it their own way, in a process blaming God and accusing God of the delay, in that process taking matters into their own hands, and worse, resorting to the ways of the world. Jesus, in contrast, responded very differently. Luke chapter 22, verse 41, talks about moments before Jesus was about to be crucified. And here he was withdrawing to a place to pray. And by the way, when you're in a moment of waiting for things from God, the best thing you can do is pray. And when I say prayer, I don't mean religious prayers. I mean seek God. The Bible says we don't know how to pray, and we need the Holy Spirit to lead us to prayer. Let me just get this straight to you. Listen well, okay? 100% of the prayers you make are going to be answered by God. If you pray a prayer of faith to God, don't forget this. 100%, everybody say 100% of the prayers you make are going to be answered by God. Except it might not be the way you expect it to be answered, but it will be. I had an interesting moment with one of my sons, my youngest son. I just called him. This is not in my notes, but I just remembered it. I called him, and I finally got, you know, when your sons are in their 30s, it's very hard to find them. And so I finally got him, and I said, actually, he was the one who's been calling me lately because his two-year-old son has been saying, I want to talk to Tata. You know how that feels, like when you're a grandfather and the kid says he wants to talk to you, you feel so elated. So I was talking to Josh, and I said, Josh, what happened to your son? Why is he so different? Why is he always looking for me? And he said, it's because they've been praying, and out of that prayer, they realized they should stop getting this kid to watch videos. And they said they stopped him from iPhones and iPads and computers and cold turkey. They just got him a bike, and that got him to stride biking and got him wading in pools and got him running and got him busy. And he said the demeanor changed. It was an answer to prayer. It was an answer to my prayer because I wanted this kid to be calling me. And so why does he want to keep calling? Because the only time he gets to see his phone is when he has to call you. 100% of your prayers will be answered. It just might not be the way God will answer. But when you pray, when you wait, that's what Jesus did. He prayed. And here's the prayer. Nevertheless, not my will. This is the prayer that Sarai should have prayed. Not my will, not my timing. Right place, right time, wrong person. Right person, right time, wrong place. You want all those things to line up together. And only God knows how to do that. And sometimes we look at this meritorious society. If I can pass this test, if I can get this degree, if I can get, that's all great, that's fine. Just make sure God called you to do that. Because if God called you to do that, then you're going to have the faith to believe him for it. One of my best friends in the world is June Escosar, and for 6 years, we ministered together for years all over the world, different parts of the world. He's our Asian leadership director for every nation today. And for 6 years, he and his wife attempted and tried to have children. They couldn't have one. And he was so sensitive to his wife because his wife was, he was Filipino and his wife was of Chinese descent. And he was so sensitive because she couldn't have children. And apparently that was the big issue to their family. And so he was sensitive to her and just kept praying and praying and praying and seeking God for God's will. And the Lord gave him peace and said, I didn't just call you to have children, I called you to become parents. And after 6-7 years of attempting, he finally had the wherewithal to go to his wife and said, I think God's called us not just to have children, but to be parents. Are you open to adoption? For some reason, his wife responded, yes, I am. And the entire family, when they adopted this child, it's a long story to tell here, but it was an amazing moment because this child was so accepted by the family. This actually looks like one of the members of their family. And they adopted this daughter, and they had peace with it. But he went to office that day, and his phone rang. It's amazing, just the timing of this thing. And there was a lady who was saying, I need some money for somebody who got pregnant. Could we help her? And then he said, and that's, the more this woman talked, he said, you know, can we meet? Because my wife and I were just talking this morning about adoption. They adopted Rachel. And I know Rachel. Rachel actually is a volunteer for Rohe's orphanage in the Philippines. And she's volunteering. But you know what's interesting about this story is not only did June and Gigi become parents, about a year and a half later, they got pregnant with a son. And God blessed them with another son. You see, sometimes God's will, and please don't hear me wrong here. I'm not saying that you're all going to have children. What I'm saying is, do you know what God's call for your life is? And they knew that they were called to be parents. They knew that they were called to do something. Okay? Don't hear me wrong here. Now, Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, Jesus was tempted. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Okay? So here was an opportunity for Jesus to use the arm of the flesh, take things into his own hands. His response was, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, I'm not going to do that. I'm hungry. It's been 40 days. I've been waiting. I'm starving, but I'm not doing it. I'm not taking matters into my own hands. I'm waiting for God. Reminded of the story from NASA about the time when the early flights were being made. They discovered that in order to make these rocket ships, they had to be built in different parts of the United States. And these canisters had to be assembled, pre-assembled, before they could be brought together. And so when they were doing all the plans, they realized in order to ship all of these things into one location, they had to determine how it was going to be done. They figured trucks won't cut it, and the only way that there was enough length to ship some of these things was by railway. Now, when they started measuring the railways, they realized there was a limitation because the railways of America were designed to be only 4 feet, 8.5 inches in width. Are you following? And so they started wondering, why in the world are railways only, why is it not 5 feet? Why is it not 4.5? Why is it not 4.6? Why is it not 5.5? Why is it 4 feet, 8.5 inches in width? So they started researching why that happened, and they found out that the reason why was because the coaches of England were 4 feet, 8.5 inches in width, and they were the basis of the expats who built the railways of America. Are you following? So they asked themselves the question, why are the coaches 4.85 inches? So, and they found out it's because the ruts of the roads of London were 4 feet, 8.5 inches in width. You found it. So they said, okay, so why was the width of the ruts that way? It's because the Romans who invaded London in 1,000 years prior to that had chariots that were 4 feet, 8.5 inches in width. So they asked themselves, why is it that? It's because they found that that was the width of the butts of horses. The consequences of jet age, space age, go back to the butts of horses. Some of your decisions, based on the traditions of men, 20 years from now are going to look like, and you're wondering, why does my life look like this? Are you following? Because you made decisions and resorted to the ways of the world rather than listening to the voice of God. Finding the faith for your calling. Some of you already decided, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that, this is where I'm going to be, this is going to be my career, here's how much money I'm going to have in my savings, and then you get tripped. And you start wondering why it didn't happen. It's because you went ahead impulsively and made those decisions without even waiting and listening by faith to God. Jesus, on the contrast, did not use his power to turn the stones into bread. In fact, he said, I'm going to wait. But at the right time, he took 5 loaves of bread and turned it into thousands because he knew that there was a proper time. And he knew that the same will and power of God has to be used at the moment when God wants to use it. Many times, like Sarai and Abraham, we miss the moment because we've either waited too long or we've moved too impulsively rather than learning to listen to God and wait upon God. Finally, Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Showed the expanse of this thing. This is the possibility. Jesus, this is the way of the world. Resort to it. The only way you're going to get there is you need to bow down and worship me. And if you do that, all the glory goes to you. And sometimes that's what we live for, the glory of man. What do my neighbors have to say? What do my friends have to say? What do my relatives have to say about where I am, rather than what does God have to say? Which is really, at the end of the day, what really matters. And Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and with him only shall you serve. As I was leaving my home this morning, on my way out of my house, my wife said, I was telling her about what I was going to preach, and she said, you know, I just had this revelation that for 40 days and 40 nights, Goliath was taunting the armies of Israel and shouting their defiance and the disgrace. And he said, that's where most people live. They wake up every morning with the Goliath screaming at them, you're not going to make it through me. You're going to be disgraced. You don't have hope. You don't have a chance in this world. And then came David, which interestingly arrived at the moment 40 days after, when all the taunting was over. And when he was told about Goliath, his reaction was not the fear that everybody had. His reaction was the same way I pulled the beard out of the bear and the same way I pulled the beard out of the lion is the same way I'm going to get this guy and kill him and chop off his head. It's about time you stop listening to the voices of the giants in your world. It's about time you start listening to the voice of God in his world. As I close, the old story of the men from the blind men of Hindustan. You guys know this. The guy that says it's a spear when he was touching the tusks of the elephant. The guy who said it's a snake when he was touching the snout of the elephant. The guy who said it's a tree when he was touching the legs of the elephant. The guy who said it's a fan. You all have heard of this. It's kind of like the Hindi version of the Rashomon effect. The guy who looked at the sides of the animal and said, it's a wall, and the guy who said, it's a rope. The bottom line is, there's no one on this planet who knows your whole picture except for God. And when we learn to reside on the trusting of the ways of men, the abilities of men, my own hands, you get a limited picture. When we go to God and say, God, have your way, have your will, show us the complete picture. Whatever time it takes, however long it takes, we're going to wait on you. Amen? Father, thank you. Thank you for your holy word. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you move before us. Give us an ability to walk by faith, to be still and know that you are God, to wait and to listen, to do and to act as you lead us. Seal this truth in each of our hearts. Help us to fulfill the call that you have. Could you look up here for a minute? I wish I could just grab each of your faces. You know, I just had to just literally just grab you and just tell you. I mean, if you could just picture God grabbing and say, you have a destiny. You do. You have an individual, personal destiny, a call that only you're going to fulfill. You have a purpose on this earth, and you have a collective destiny as a church, and then you have a collective destiny as a nation, and then you have a collective destiny as the universal church of God. Listen, be still, okay? Just hold your face. Pretend like God's holding your face. Hold it. You have a destiny. You have a destiny in God. Amen? Amen? It will be fulfilled. Not by your abilities, not by PSLEs, and that's not a bad thing. Amen? But by God. Everybody say, by God. God. By Jesus. By Jesus. My destiny shall be fulfilled. In his name I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
For listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.